Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I appreciate the opportunity to come before you this morning as we take a few moments to look at God's Word, and hopefully we will gain some insight from His Word that we might be able to use as we go forward. I do appreciate the prayers that have been offered and ask that you would continue to pray for me, as I certainly stand in need of God's blessings as I come before you. If you would this morning, turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus, the third chapter. We'll begin reading with the first verse, Exodus, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. And as you turn, you'll recognize this as a passage of Scripture in which God called Moses as He was preparing him to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And I wonder if you've ever made excuses for anything, something that you know that you ought to do, but yet we try to excuse ourselves from doing what we ought to do or from doing what God would direct us to do. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we'll find initially that Moses did the same thing. That as God was speaking to him and calling him to that job of leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, that Moses didn't particularly want to do it. And so he began to look for excuses as to why he would be unable and was not the one who ought to be leading the children of Israel. Exodus, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my children, my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this day and thankful for the opportunity that you've given us that we might come into your house and serve you. Father, we ask that you would be with us this morning, that what we say and do would be honoring and pleasing to you, that our worship would be pleasing to you. Father, we ask this morning that you be with those who have been mentioned. There are many who are sick and in need. Father, we just ask that you would be with them, that you would strengthen their bodies. Father, if it be thy will, that you would heal them, that you would be with their families as they stand beside them, that you would give them strength and that you would give them comfort. And Father, we're thankful for this church and for your blessings here. I ask your continued blessings upon the church and upon each member, each friend. Father, we ask that you be with us now as we enter into this portion of the service, that you might send your Spirit, that he might touch our hearts and open our minds, that we might receive understanding of your word. Father, that we might see Moses and the excuses that he made, and Father, help us that we might determine that rather than seeking excuses, that we would seek to follow you and to go where you would lead us to go and to be obedient to you in all things. Father, we ask now that everything that's said and done would be in accordance with your will, and that you would receive all the praise and the honor and the glory for all this accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Moses had kind of an unusual experience, an experience that probably none of us have had or will ever have. But Moses was just out in the desert, minding the sheep, minding his own business, when all of a sudden he looks over and he sees that there is this bush that's burning. But there's something that's highly unusual about the bush that's burning, and that is, it's not being consumed. There is a flame that is coming out of that bush, but it's not being consumed. And Moses notices that, and he says, that's unusual. And when he sees something that unusual, he decides, just as we would, that he wants to know why, what's happening. And so he turns aside and he gets ready to go over through the burning bush. But God calls out to him. And he says not to approach and to take his shoes off of his feet because he is on holy ground. And the reason that he's on holy ground is because that's where God is at that moment. And God is speaking to Moses. And he's about to share some information with Moses. You know, whenever we are in the presence of God, we also are on holy ground. And the reason that Moses was told to take off his shoes as he was there on that holy ground was that he might show the respect for God and the honor for God that he deserves as he comes into his presence. And that's something that we as God's people also should be doing. That when we are in the presence of God, when we enter into his presence, that there should be an honor and a respect that we show for God. And that respect should be evident in what we say and what we do and how we act. God is a holy and a righteous God. He deserves our respect. He deserves our honor. He deserves our worship. And that's what I believe God was saying to Moses at that particular point in time. You are in the presence of God. You are on holy ground. Show the respect and the honor. Worship God as you should. And so, as he's there, first of all, God identifies himself that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he tells him why he is appearing to Moses. God has looked upon his people, and he's heard their cry. They're in the land of Egypt. And as they are living in the land of Egypt, it's a very difficult situation for them. They have become basically slaves to Pharaoh. And he is requiring them to work. And the taskmasters are very difficult. And the pain is very great upon the Egyptian or upon the Israelite people as they are there in Egypt. And they have cried out to God. And God tells Moses, I've heard their cry. He says, I've heard their cry, and it is now time for me to do something. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take them out of the land of Egypt, and I'm going to put them into a land that flows with milk and honey. That land that God had promised to his people all along, he said, it is now time that they be removed from Egypt and that they be placed in that land. But God also says, somebody's going to go to Pharaoh. And somebody's going to stand before Pharaoh and he's going to say, let my people go. And God said to Moses, you're the one. You're the one that I have chosen. You're the one that I have ordained for this particular task. You are the one who will stand up and who will go before Pharaoh. You are the one who will lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, it's going to be a very difficult and a very formidable task. And as you read the remainder of the book of Exodus, it was very difficult for Moses. It was very difficult even in the beginning as he went before Pharaoh. And it was difficult even as they began to leave the land of Egypt. It was difficult as he had to deal with the people as they very often murmured and complained about what was happening. But God said to Moses that he was the one. He said, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, you know, you would think that that would be an honor. You would think that Moses would be honored that God looked upon him and saw him as the man whom he chose for this very important task. But that wasn't how Moses was looking at it at that particular point in time. Now, Moses probably had no idea how difficult the task would be, but he knew that he was going to have to do some things that would be difficult, not the least of which would be going before Pharaoh. And so Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He was saying, "Who am I that you would tell me to go and to do this task, to perform this task?" And of course, Moses was the man that God chose to do the task. Now, I don't think that there was any humility in the spirit of Moses as he said that. You know, sometimes God might choose us and we might, out of a spirit of humility, say, "I'm not worthy to do it." But I think as we look at Moses' attitude, it was just, you know, "God, I really don't know why you think that I should be the one to go." But Moses was a man that God had prepared for the task. And I believe that God had been spending a lot of time preparing Moses for the task of going and leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. You see, God had known all along, even before Moses was born, before the foundation of the world, He knew what was going to happen, and He knew that Moses was the man that He had chosen to perform that task, and He had prepared him for the task. You see, what better man to go and to stand before Pharaoh than Moses? You remember the story of Moses and of his birth, and how at that particular time, Pharaoh had determined that all of the male children, as they were born, would be killed. And the reason for that is he saw the population of Israel becoming greater and greater, and he thought that at some point they may become large enough that they could revolt against the Egyptians. And so he said that these babies would be killed as they were born, and Moses was born, and he was a male, and so he should have been killed. But his mother hid him so that no one would find him. But you know, as babies get a little bit older, they tend to make noise, and sometimes it's difficult to hide the noise that they're making. And that was what was happening, that Moses was getting to the age that it was going to be very difficult to hide him. And so she made a basket and she put him in the river. And it just so happened that Pharaoh's daughter, if you remember, was the one who found him. Moses was taken and he was raised in the palace of Pharaoh. Now, as Moses was in Pharaoh's palace, it gave him the opportunity to see how things were done. You know, when you get into levels of government, very often there are certain protocols. There are things that have to be followed. If you're going to get something done in politics, you kind of have to know how to do it. Have to know who to see and how to navigate through the political realm. Well, Pharaoh raised Moses in that. He knew the protocol. He knew who to see. He knew who had the power. And not only that, he knew how to present himself before Pharaoh. He knew how to talk to him. God had prepared him for that because he knew that it was necessary for the man that he chose to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, that man would have to go before Pharaoh. And that he would have to present his demands before Pharaoh. So Moses was familiar with everything with which he needed to be familiar as he went and as he was going to stand before Pharaoh. So who was Moses that God would call him? He was, first of all, the man that God, I believe, had prepared to go before Pharaoh. And if nothing else, he was the man whom God had called to go before Pharaoh. So that was not a question that Moses should have been asking. That was not an excuse that he should have been making, that who am I that I should go before Pharaoh? It was simply that God had seen Moses, had called Moses, had prepared him for this moment as he was going to perform that task. But Moses wasn't finished. That was just one of the things that he said. And God said, you know, "I'm going to be with you. I'm the one that's called you. I'm the one that's chosen you. I'm the one that's putting you in this position, so I'm going to be with you. And I'll even give you this token, that after you've led the people out of the nation of Egypt, then you're going to worship and serve God on this mountain. But then Moses said unto God in the 13th verse, Behold, when I am come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And so he gave him the answer, because Moses knew who God was, because God had just identified himself to him. But I think that the way that God refers to himself to Moses gives us a little bit of insight into God as well. He says, first of all, tell them that I am. Now, when I think of I am, I think of present tense. And God is always in the present tense. It doesn't matter where we may be in life. It doesn't matter whether it's the past. It doesn't matter whether it's now or whether it's in the future. God is. Because there has never been a time in history that God did not exist. He existed before the foundation of the world. He created the world. He has existed throughout the history of the world that we can read and that we know something about. He exists right now, and He will exist in our future. As long as God allows this world to continue to exist, He will be here. And then even after this world is no more, and we enter into His presence in heaven, God will still exist from the infinite beginning to the infinite end. There is no beginning, there is no end to God. Now, of course, that's one of those things that we have great difficulty understanding, because everything that we know about has a beginning and it has an end. But with God, there is no beginning. There is no end. And so God always is. And so when He stood before Moses, He said, Tell them that I am hath sent you. And the comfort that that gives us is that God is always here. God is always present. God is always with us. And so He was saying to Moses to say to the children of Israel, I am. Whatever happens from this point forward, as I begin to lead you out of the land of Egypt, as I take you over into the promised land, as you go and as your descendants go throughout history, I am with them. What greater comfort could there have been to Moses than for God to say that? That I am. And then he goes on and he tells them to say to them that I am the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And so Moses now knows who has sent him. And so again, the excuse of not knowing who was sending him had been overcome by God. And then in the fourth chapter, in the first verse, Moses continues on with other excuses. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So Moses says, well, you know, God, all of these other things are great. I know that you've called me now. And I know that you've prepared me. And I know who to tell them that sent me. But, you know, God, they may not believe me. Now, who's going to believe that God came to me in this bush that was burning but was not consumed and told me to go and to say all of these things and to lead the people? And so God answered that excuse by giving him some signs. And he said, take that rod that's in your hand and cast it on the ground. And that's what Moses did. He took the rod, he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Now, I must say that I am impressed with the wisdom of Moses at that point in time, because it said, and he fled from it. And I think if I cast something on the ground and it became a serpent, I would probably do the same thing. So Moses was a wise man in that sense, but then he was also a man who was obedient, and he must have had some faith in God, because God said, well, now take that serpent up by the tail. And he did. And when he picked the serpent up by the tail, it became a rod again. And then he said, take your hand and stick it in your bosom. And he did, and he pulled it out. And it was leprous. It was white as snow, it said. Now, leprosy was not an uncommon disease in those days, but it was a slow-acting disease. And it was not isolated to one part of the body. When leprosy began to work on a person's body, it would eventually cover the whole body, and just one part would not all of a sudden turn white as snow with leprosy. But I'm sure that as Moses looked at his hand, it must have been somewhat frightening, because leprosy was the dread disease of that day. And a person who had leprosy was placed in isolation because there was nothing that could be done except to wait for them to die. And they did not want them around others so that they might get leprosy from them. And so that must have been a frightening thing as he looked at his hand and he saw that it was leprous. And then God said, put your hand in your bosom again and pull it out, and he did, and it was healed. And he said, if they don't believe that first sign, they're going to believe the second one, and I'll even give you a third sign. Okay, so don't believe those two. You can take the river water and pour it on the dry land, and it'll become blood. And so God said to Moses, I'm taking care of everything that you need, of every issue that you might have. And then in the 10th verse, he says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. I've always liked God's answer to that particular excuse that Moses had. He said, you know, God, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm slow of mouth and slow of tongue. And you know, it almost sounds like he gets in a situation and he just can't get his thoughts together and speak well, is what I think he's saying here. And God said to Moses, well, who made your tongue? If I made your tongue and it's like that right now, then I can change it to be what it needs to be. And he said, I'll be with you. That I will give you what you need to say. I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. And he was saying to Moses, you don't worry about it. You just go where you need to be. You stand before Pharaoh when I tell you to stand before Pharaoh, and I'll take care of the rest. I'll be with your mouth, and I'll teach you what to say. What comes out of your mouth will be what I want to come out. You know, as we look at all of these excuses that Moses had, I think we see some things in Moses that we might see in ourselves sometimes. When he began to say, who am I that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He was questioning God's choice. He was questioning what God was doing. And sometimes, don't we do the same thing? We question what God does and why he does it. You know, we really don't have a right for that question, because God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God knows what's best. And so why should we question God's choices? Why should we question what God does? But so often, even in our own lives, when God directs us to be obedient, God directs us to do something for Him, to do some task, that we sometimes question, well, first of all, God, why would you do that at all? And secondly, why would you have me to do it? And it's very easy for us to make our excuses as to why we can't be obedient to God. And then Moses said, "Who shall I tell them sent me?" And I wonder if there might have been a little bit of a fear of rejection for Moses there. If I go and I begin to talk to these people and tell them the things that you're telling me, God, and I don't have your authority, if they don't understand who you are, they don't understand where I'm coming from, are they just going to reject me? You know, that's one of the things that all of us in our human frailties fear sometimes. Is that we fear as we go and as we serve God and as we do what we ought to do, that there would be those who would reject us. But that's not something we should worry about either. That we simply go and we serve God and we follow Him and we are obedient to Him. And God takes care of the rest. We don't have to fear rejection. In fact, I would submit that we should fear God much more than we should fear rejection. And that we should serve Him. And then he said, and they won't believe me. But God was taking care of that also. Is it not God who works in the hearts of His people? Is it not God who convicts those to whom we might be sent? It's not our responsibility to make them believe. It's our responsibility to share the message that God has given, and then God works in the hearts of those who hear the message. And then he talked about his lack of eloquence and being slow of tongue. Moses didn't have the faith at that point in time that God was going to take care of him and that God would provide the words and provide what he needed to say. And how often do we fail to serve God because we don't have the faith that God is going to take care of us, that He's going to give us the strength, He's going to give us the courage, or He's going to give us words, or whatever it is that we might need. How often are we afraid to go and to serve God? And when we are afraid to go and serve God, when we are afraid to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given us, it's because we don't have the faith that God is going to be with us and to strengthen us and to provide us those things that we need. And I think that was the case with Moses. But Moses was moving along. And finally, Moses asked for someone to go with him. And he asked, and God did send Aaron with him. Now, God was not happy. Scripture tells us that God was angry. Moses said in the 13th verse of the 4th chapter, and he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." And so God did send Aaron with Moses. You see, Moses didn't need Aaron. He could have done it himself. But because of all of the excuses and all of the things, God did allow Aaron to go with him. And he said, "I'm going to tell you what to say, and then you tell Aaron, and then Aaron will speak." And Moses finally went. But Moses had to go through a lot of excuses. Came up with all of these reasons as to why he shouldn't go or couldn't go. And in the end, he kindled the anger of God. And if Moses up front had just said, "Okay, God, I'm the one that you've called, tell me what to do and I'll go do it," he would have never found God angry with him. And then think of the great work that God worked through Moses as he humbled himself and submitted himself and became obedient. And God has things for us to do, and He reveals to us those tasks that He would have us to do. And we have to be careful that we not fall into the same thing that Moses did and begin to make excuses as to why we can't serve Him. We have our own excuses. We've got a lot of things going on, and sometimes we're just too busy. Sometimes we use the same excuse that Moses did and say, well, you know, I'm just not capable of doing that, God. I don't have the ability. I don't have whatever it takes to do what you're asking me to do. And I think we also deal with that fear of rejection. God, if I go to this person, how am I going to be received? What are they going to say? What are they going to do? And then we also have that just overall fear of what might happen. But just as God answered every one of Moses' excuses and took care of them, God also will take care of anything that we need. Whatever He calls us to do, whatever He tells us to do, whatever direction He sends us, whatever task He has for us to do, He will prepare us to do that. And He will be with us as we go forward to serve. There are no excuses for not serving God. Because He will not direct us to do anything that He does not give us the ability and give us whatever it is that we might need to serve Him. We just simply need to overcome that fear that we have. We're blessed that God does work through His people. He doesn't need us. He can do fine, just fine without us. But He allows us to receive the blessings of serving Him. Why would we want to fail to receive those blessings? By making excuses and by being disobedient. My prayer that God would add His blessings to these words.